All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. Okay, so just a few minutes.
I thought we were doing an outro.
No, we're doing an intro first.
Okay.
Intro and outro.
Now you've messed it up.
In just a few
gold.
Minutes.
Comedic gold.
And, yeah. Comedic.
Bronze?
Yeah, bronze. At best.
Comedic participation trophy.
We got a ribbon for that one. Yeah. Yes. All right, in just a few minutes, you'll be hearing our second live episode.
Woo!
Yeah.
Look at us
recorded. I know. They let us come back.
Back by lack
demand?
Of, lack of objection.
Yeah. Yeah, demand would his one word for it. You know?
Back by popular people feel like they have to come to church on Wednesday nights.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Yep.
Back by captive audience.
Right.
Yep. So we will, in just a few minutes, you'll hear that we recorded on February 28th at Word of Life Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For our Lenten service.
Yeah.
It's not the whole service. It's just kind of our portion of it.
Sure. Yeah. The sermon-y portion.
Yeah. So it'll probably be a little shorter than a normal podcast.
Just as good.
maybe better, if we're being honest. Yeah.
Within the realm of possibility.
Right.
Maybe you're like, shorter is better.
Right.
The less I'm hearing you is actually the more I enjoy it. Yeah.
It's a diminishing return after a little bit.
All right. Well, here we go. Without further ado, here it is.
A reading this evening from the book of Esther. Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. And then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message for Mordecai. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone may that person live. I myself have not been called to come in to the king for 30 days. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. The word of the Lord.
You brought a friend.
I did. This is our co-host.
Is this your emotional support octopus?
Yeah, this is my daughter's stuffed octopus needed to come up with us tonight.
Excellent. Glad it's here.
All right, we're back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting to all of our adoring fans.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
The most applause I've ever gotten in this room.
Yeah, good. Yeah. If not, I would have had to add a bunch of applause tomorrow in editing.
Right.
This is much less awkward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that. We're basically the Beatles of Lutheran podcasting in the Woodlands, Texas.
Right.
So yeah. You know, like,
nailed it.
You know, that's we've been compared favorably that
we time. Have a niche market, but we've got it.
Right.
Down. That's good.
All right. So if you're unfamiliar. My name is Patrick, and I host this podcast with Pastor David and Elise here. And we just talk about faith and other issues related to kind of church and culture throughout our world. And tonight we're going to talk about Esther.
Yeah.
But before we get there, we're going to talk about the news. We always go over a little news story to kind of get us warmed up in our talking. All right, so we're going to talk about flights.
It's like airplane
flights?
News.
Airplane flights. Yeah, we talked about flights last time.
Yeah.
Oh,
could
yeah.
we land a plane now? Could we sit on this plane? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Maggots from rotten fish and overhead bin fall on passenger aboard international Delta flight.
Hard pass. I'm out.
Yeah.
I am jumping off that plane. I don't. Yeah. Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah. When you think of plane tragedy, or plane discomfort or anything that could go wrong is maggots.
Maggots falling from the ceiling, definitely. Yeah. It is now. I didn't know it needed to be a concern, but right. It definitely jumped a few places.
What about, you know, we've had some Alaskan Airlines, the door falling off.
Sure.
That's,
yeah.
To me, that's still pretty low. Like, I know that that's actually happened, but it seems like odds.
Well, the maggots has actually happened, too. So.
Yeah, but no. Yeah.
One of them is much grosser than the
if
other.
If I get sucked out of an airplane, I still don't get covered in maggots. So, you know, it's...
Not right then.
Right. It's, yeah. It's all, it works out in the end. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. It works out in the end.
Passenger Philip Shoddy, who is Dutch and lives in Iowa, said he saw a maggot fall on the woman at the end of his row. Oof. And saw several more fall on her seat from the overhead compartment. That's where they're falling from.
Gross, yes. Gross.
Yeah.
Did he tell her?
What's the etiquette in that situation?
Is this like a spinach in the tooth situation? Yeah. Like, right. How long do you let the maggots fall before you actually have to say something?
Yeah.
Okay. That's.
I couldn't quite see what she was doing, but I kind of peeked over and saw that there were a couple of maggots on the chair, and she was trying to contain them and stop from falling on the chair. And as soon as I noticed that, I noticed she explained they were falling from the overhead storage, and I could see that she was freaked out.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty given. So there's maggots coming from a passenger's bag who brought on fish in their carry-on.
Like just raw dead
that
fish?
That was already rotten?
You know,
covered in maggots. That's not a good sign.
Is like, you know, non-rotten fish just like a better, you know, solution?
I would think that you would want to pack non-rotten fish.
Yeah, I think any
it's like
fish.
Like in a fish tank? You want to like just like a whole tank?
I want
tank
a no-fish plane regardless,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Nobody needs to be carrying fish onto the plane. That's just a general rule.
Cooked, rotten, live, no fish.
Was the fish registered as an emotional support animal?
It was not, yeah. Yeah,
maybe the maggots.
If I'm not allowed to bring shampoo, you're not allowed to bring fish. Okay, like that's a given. Like we're all on the same.
What
page.
If my fish fits into a 3-ounce container? Am I allowed to?
Sure, like some sardines. Yeah.
Yeah. There it is. Seal the maggots up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to keep them contained. That's the key.
Yeah. This was from Amsterdam to Detroit, and they had to turn around.
I would think. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
How far into that flight were they?
Amsterdam.
This was at takeoff.
Oh, okay. So
they took off and then came back right down.
Yes. Nope. Yes. Gross. I'm out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's better, right? You don't want to be you don't want to be over the Atlantic and maggots are
happening.
Right,
where you're halfway and then the maggots happen.
Yeah.
There's no good options.
There's no scenario that, no, I don't want to talk about things that are worse than that. Why would I want to talk about that?
That's spiders, right?
None of them are good. I don't want to talk about it. Okay.
Snakes?
Let's talk about Esther. Let's stop talking about things on planes. Let's do this.
Let's talk about Esther. Okay. All right, Esther. So this is an interesting book of the Bible.
It is.
Set in Persia.
Okay.
And Esther is queen. When we read the story here, she's queen, and I've got a little summary here for us.
All right. So
Israelites have been captured, taken to Persia. And assimilated there. The king is in the mood for a new wife, looking for a new wife.
Yep. Like a king does.
Like a king
Changing
does.
Changing it up.
Yeah, and he holds like his own like little wife beauty pageant, like his version of Persian Bachelor.
Okay.
And Esther is chosen. She's very pretty. The Bible wants us to know she's very pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oftentimes when the Bible talks about a woman, we got to talk about if she's attractive or not, right?
Whether or not.
So Esther is very pretty. So she's chosen as queen.
Okay.
Right? And then... the story kind of pivots and starts talking about her uncle,
Should
Mordecai.
We establish that she's Jewish?
Yeah, she's Jewish.
But she doesn't tell anybody.
She does not tell anybody.
Right, those are important things.
Yeah, she's Jewish, keeps it a secret.
Okay.
Okay. And then the story pivots to really kind of focusing on her uncle, Mordecai, and this other person named Haman, who is kind of a royal advisor to the king.
Okay.
And Mordecai,
so this is like a Jafar and I don't remember who Aladdin's.
Yes.
Who's the monkey?
Abu.
Abu, yeah. This is like Jafar and Abu. It's their rivalry.
Comparing her uncle to to the monkey?
Yes. In this scenario, yes. That's who I'm comparing him to.
I think that tracks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Mordecai and Haman have a big feud. It's a bad thing. Haman hates Mordecai. Mordecai does not like Haman. Haman has conspired to kill Mordecai and all the Jews, set a plan in motion to wipe them out.
Okay.
So that's the reading what we read kind of picks up at this moment where this is known information amongst Esther and Mordecai that this is planned is coming, and the idea is like, well, Esther, you need to go talk to the king on our behalf.
Right.
But there's a problem, and that is if anybody goes to talk to the king without being summoned by the king, put to death.
Yeah.
Maggots.
Can I enforce this rule in my office? Does that work? If no one comes back, no? Okay.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
All right, so that's where the story is. So Mordecai, says some pretty wise things, like, hey, look, we trust in God is going to deliver us,
yep.
And if it doesn't come this way, it's going to come another way.
Sure.
But maybe you were in such a time as this, placed in this position to use your influence, your relationship, to save the Jews from extermination here in Persia.
Yeah.
Okay. So Esther's like, all right, let's fast.
Let's do it. It's not eat for 3 days.
Yeah, that's a go-to move to fast, right?
I want to be my hungriest.
It's stress fasting. You know, instead of stress eating, we're just,
I'm the opposite direction. Yeah. Right? I've got to have a painful conversation.
Show me the Twinkies.
I'm not looking forward to. Yeah, that's a Snickers situation, not a fast situation. Yeah. All right, so
that's why they didn't write Bible stories about Patrick. I'm just saying.
With that. Yeah. If you get a Bible story written about you, it's normally because you've had a lot of stress in your life.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So
it didn't always go your way if you end up in the Bible.
Right.
All right. So for me, this idea of like we're talking about fasting as resistance, or what Esther and Mordecai are doing, kind of definitely brings up the idea of the stories we hear of hunger strikes.
Mm, sure.
Are you familiar with stories of hunger strikes?
I am.
Yep. Do you know any major ones that you've heard of?
There's some going on right now. I don't know if they're like major, but I know there's a lot of college campuses where people are
Dartmouth, right?
Fasting or hunger striking in connection with Gaza and the war that's happening over there.
Yeah, we do have some college students around our country now who are fasting in connection to Israel, Gaza, and their kind of university's relationship to the nations of Israel.
Yep.
Any others you are familiar with?
Well, this is embarrassing. We probably should have looked this up ahead of time.
Yeah, probably.
You said you were coming with a list. I didn't know I was going to be expected to know the list.
Fasting is not my area of expertise. I'm your feasting.
What do you got? Why don't you just tell us the ones that you know about, Patrick?
So for me, the ones that kind of come to my mind is Gandhi was a proponent of a hunger strike for deliverance from England in India. The Irish are big into the hunger strike.
Okay.
Okay, so multiple times throughout their history.
Was that a famine?
Huh?
I think that was a famine,
Different, this is different. Different time periods. Different. Yeah.
I don't know, you can call it a strike.
I guess you're like, we're not eating. If we throw the word strike on it, though, it feels like it's
romantic,
by choice.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right, it's agency. Yeah.
All right, is a hunger strike, is that effective? Is that going to do much? What do we think?
I mean, no one has ever hunger struck me. Is that right? I don't know. Yes. No one has ever had
You've
a hunger
been
strike.
Hunger struck.
That's
the song.
Yeah. No one ever has ever done that to like try to change my mind. So I don't know if that's. I don't know if there's like evidence to say, well, this really changes people's mind. I mean, certainly in the long run, it worked for Gandhi. Yeah. I don't know if it was the hunger strike that did it versus a lot of other things that were going along with that at the same time.
Yeah.
I think that it can be an important component of things, but I think in general, when we're looking at this particularly from the biblical perspective of how do we fast as a form of resistance, I don't know that we're necessarily using it to resist and overturn the power of this world as much as we are to resist other powers that maybe are trying to claim authority in our own lives.
Yeah.
I think fasting is pretty much always about yourself, right? It's how do you recenter yourself and what is going on within yourself, and less about how you are influencing the outside world with that.
That's interesting. So when you're saying fasting is about yourself, you're not necessarily implying that it's like a selfish act,
right?
But it's about like this is a moment when
I can control
focused
this.
On,
I can change this within myself.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, I think the idea of like a hunger strike is definitely designed to like be this dramatic outward expression.
Sure.
And if you see someone through the news or media truly wasting away, it's gonna draw attention to the plight or the experience of this group of people who maybe feel like they're being oppressed and are looking for deliverance, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it is designed to be kind of a drastic, shocking image of someone who is choosing to, resist eating food most of the time to the point of death for a lot of these kind of situations where there are hunger strikes. I don't believe our college students are doing that, but I don't know.
I don't know,
That kind of does bring up this interesting point that we're kind of talking about here. Because when we have our fasting board out there, and I fasted last week, you fasted, Elisa, you are on a food, opposite,
I'm
right?
I'm feasting.
A feasting strike.
Yes.
I'm eating
all your food.
I'm going to eat more food. Yeah. I like that. That's maybe more kind of my kind of strike, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I'll eat more food than I should.
You need to be strong and ready.
Yeah, so as to confirm solidarity with those who, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. This isn't designed to draw attention here to Lord Alive of, like, we're calling out powers that be through resistance of fasting. But yet, the act itself is an act of resistance.
Sure.
But I don't think we're necessarily resisting, you know, our willpower for food. So why, how is our version of fasting, how do we see that as an act of resisting here at Lord Alive?
So I think this is where we get back to, right, those spiritual powers that are trying to claim authority on our life, right? That fasting, as Elise was saying, right, it's an opportunity for us to recenter ourselves on that connection with God in particular. And so you look at Esther's story, she's preparing for this really hard thing where she knows that she could be killed the moment that she walks into that room. But so she fasts for 3 days and has everybody fast with her to kind of recenter herself on God and focus on the thing that's drawing her forward, right? That maybe it is for such a time as this that she's been placed at that point. And so that fast, that resistance gives her the strength to put aside all those concerns of, well, I could die, or, well, you know, this is going to affect my position, or, well, whatever that might be, right? And said, I'm going to go in. And the fact doesn't change that she could still die when she walks into the room, right? She still knows that that's the result. In fact, the end of the reading even said, even though it was against the law, right? The law didn't change. She was just as much at risk at the end of the fast as she was at the beginning. But the fast, ironically, gives her the strength to go and do that.
It's a strategy to be hungry enough that you don't care. Kill me.
Maybe. You know, I think for me, you know, the things I've experienced, like, in fasting in religious organizations here, either at Lord Life or in the previous church I worked at, was kind of this idea of, like, this is an intentional time where I am in resistance, one, maybe to my own base instincts, right? Like, sure. I'm resisting what I want in this world. And two, a time of I'm resisting kind of the pressures or the calling of worldly things that are so easy for me to kind of engage in on a day-to-day basis. And not to say those things are wrong or bad or things that we as Christians should avoid, but it's a way to say, like, but there's something bigger or better than those things, and yet I can be easily distracted or easily confused by it. And so resisting a food is this natural reminder, right? Like the growl of your belly, the desire to eat is a natural reminder of I'm resisting this for the sake of a reminder that there's something better that I actually long for over Snickers or McDonald's, right? Mm-hmm. You know, imagine that, something better than McDonald's, right?
It's hard to believe.
Yeah. So when we are fasting, and not just from food, what are we resisting from, or what does that look like for us?
Wait, ask that question again.
So if we are fasting.
Okay, when we're fasting.
And we're going to expand this beyond food.
Okay.
Because some people, you know, on our list out there, I've experienced fasting.
Sure.
Well, what are some other things we should have some intentional breaks from for kind of to kind of remind us that there's something bigger than ourselves?
Yeah.
An intentional resistance.
Yeah. From my perspective, it can really be anything that distracts you from the goodness of God, right? Yeah. And that can be different for every person, right? You know, something that can be really great and meaningful as a way to connect with God for one person can be something that distracts someone else. And so maybe one person needs to fast from that cup of coffee every day because that's the thing that they rely on rather than turning to God for strength. And maybe somebody else needs to fast from exercise. Like maybe exercise has become their God in some way, right? That they use that to distract themselves from everything else rather than anything else. So anything that we use to try to distract ourselves from the connection that we're intended to have with God, I think can be something from which we can fast. Social media, technology, I don't know.
So you're saying social media could interrupt my relationship with God?
It's
first I've heard of this. That's all I'm saying.
News.
You heard it here first.
Right. Whoa, interesting. Yeah. Yes. Reliance on my phone could be a bad thing. Mm. Yes.
It's hard to say.
I think it's sort of a mental health bent on this a little bit. Like it seems like an opportunity to really take inventory of maybe coping mechanisms that we have and how things we mask other things and how we're doing that and whether or not that continues to serve us.
Yeah.
And if we can take that time to kind of intentionally recenter that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I came here to work at Lord of Life, I worked full time at a summer camp. And I ran our summer program, and then during the year, we hosted retreats. And, you know, one of the core values that we kind of had at our camp was this idea of pattern interrupt, is what we like to call it. It is like people come to summer camp or to a retreat, and their patterns that they've established in their world get interrupted for their time that they're at this place. And that is a good thing. Like, we need that time where our patterns are interrupted so that we are shifting our perspective and how we connect to God. So, I mean, even if your patterns are amazing and they're great and they're important, having that shift for a week or a weekend helps you re-see God in a new way. Yeah. Or, in the best version of this, you re-see your patterns in a new way. And you say, wow, look at all the things that have slowly crept into my life that I've established. And having this week break from them, I can see them clearer. I can see all the maggots that I've allowed into my world.
Why are we stuck on the maggots? Yeah. Yeah. All,
you know,
the images.
It's an analogy, okay? Yeah, okay. It's full circle. Yeah,
it's lovely.
And that gives me a chance to address them anew. So I think fasting can be this version of pattern interrupt. You know, even if it's fasting for a day or for us like 12-ish hours, it's a way to relook at what are the things that I'm doing in my day and how have I slowly allowed kind of some things to creep in that normally I would not want, but now because they're part of my pattern, I need a chance to see them anew.
Yeah.
And I think that fasting gives us a chance to resist the patterns that we form every day and that kind of guide us and dictate how our lives work.
Yeah.
So I think that's our resistance.
Well, I think that's what we see play out in Esther's story as well, right? That Esther has this fasting reset where she has gotten kind of comfortable as queen. You know, she's got this position and she's living pretty well. And so she has this pattern reset of like, hey, I have to speak up to save my people in a lot of ways. And spoiler alert, for those of you who haven't read the end of the book of Esther, it works. And she goes to the king and he holds out the scepter and they talk and she holds a banquet. And eventually they kind of trick Haman into confessing and then doesn't work out so well for Haman, but, you know, it works out for Esther and Mordecai,
Yeah, I think what's awesome about the story, too, is that Mordecai and the Jews are fasting alongside her.
Yeah, sure.
That even though it's her job or her part of the story is to go talk to the king, they are with her in spirit, right? So, like, that fasting as resistance looks like none of us have to face the hardships and the horrors of this world alone.
Yeah.
That being part of a church community, we all have people surrounding us that when push comes to shove, I know they will skip a meal for me. You know, they'll skip what they think is important or necessary or the patterns that they've established for me. And I think that that matters, you know, for Esther to know that her people are behind her. You know, they're not like, hey, Esther, good luck, back to normal life for the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, that they're with her in spirit in kind of this fast. And I think that we can do that for one another.
I like it. Sounds good.
All right, I think that's a good place for us to stop our podcast.
Do we want to say, like, thanks for listening?
Sure, why not?
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
we've been glad to have you with us. And, we'll see if we do it again sometime.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, thank you for not storming out
in
a huff.
Right.
Yes.
Except for the person who just stormed out that direction. That
Wow.
Oh, that's so close.
Just Tim, no big deal. Yeah. All right, well, we are back from our live recording. Hopefully that was great.
Yeah.
We pre-recorded this.
It was great. So it was great.
We had fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a time. You
right.
know?
I'm confident we had fun.
We showed up.
We did?
Yep.
I think.
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah. Hopefully. It's going to be real weird if one of us is gone.
Right.
Yeah. And we got to hear about Esther and fasting.
Yes.
And hopefully you all learned a little bit about what a fasting as resistance might mean for you in your own spiritual walk.
Yeah. All right. You want to do where you could find us?
Yeah. Hey, you can find, if you're looking for other Advent Wednesday services, Lent. You can find, Lent. Like I said, if you're looking for other Lenten Wednesday services. It's tough.
Do you get a demerit for that?
I do, yeah. I get knocked. But you can find those at lolonline.org. All of our worship series are streamed there and available for your perusing. Or you can find our podcast at beyondsundaypodcast.com. And you can send us your thoughts on fasting or Esther or other live episodes that you'd like to hear in the future at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody, to our live episode number two. Live two.
Numero dos. Yes. We're going on tour next.
Maybe. Where?
Right.
I don't know.
Who wants us?
Anywhere we go, we're now on tour. That's fine.
Our respective homes. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.